Jam! Hello again and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTGcast Network. Hey, look, I'm getting better at that.
You are.
Yeah. It still sounds like a mixtape. You're getting there.
Oh, Jam. Hello and welcome to the...
Monday Night Magic. Questions. Of magic.
Jam. I am Chewy, failing miserably at keeping these two in check.
You totally threw it over to us to knock it out of check. That's all you.
Exactly. That's why I'm failing miserably.
So bad at it.
And look, we're recording again this week, and
it's
even
Monday.
And this hasn't happened in like 3 weeks. I'm here, and Bill's here.
Yay.
And Clues is here.
Hooray.
So, yay, full crew. We
have all returned, and also apparently news has returned, because there wasn't any last week, is what I'm told.
Yeah, it was kind of terrible. So last week we were going to be without Bill, and then...
The world would not have it.
Yeah, and then nothing happened. We were hoping
that... The
week
following a pre-release very seldom has any actual news.
Well, I mean, that's
it's just
always...
when there's a banned and restricted update.
Yeah, and we were hoping that there would be something on the banned and restricted update so that we could record. There was nothing. There was just not a...
Spoiler alert, we'll talk about the nothing shortly.
I mean, we might as well talk about it now. Nothing changed.
Good luck, nothing. Good. Go team.
They did not ban top.
Where's my luck dragon?
They did not...
and my Pokemon Go game.
Unban luck dragons or Pokemon Go? Or something? So, yeah... Hashtag stop the top is still alive and well.
Hashtag stop the top.
You all right?
See that?
Sorry.
That mixtape is kicking in again on Clues.
Almost said something that I... There's no swearing on Monday Night Magic. Not even after a break.
Especially not after a break.
It throws off the average.
Yeah. So how about, just while we're here, how about the commander banned or nothing? There was nothing.
Nope.
Dual commander, or French commander, or whatever you want to call it.
Double nothing?
No, they had some changes.
Oh.
They, okay, so they've eliminated the watch list. They had, like, the ban list, and then they had the list of things they were keeping an eye on, because reasons. And they've gotten rid of that. So that's good. The changes are Marith? Marath? How do you pronounce that?
Marith?
Marith? Will of the Wild is banned as a commander. You can still play it in the deck, though. And then Necrotic Ooze is banned. And, oh look, Dig Through Time and Treasure Cruise are banned. Because in any format that's one-on-one, those two cards are vaguely busted.
In any format, those cards are vaguely busted. Should not have been printed. Stop the top.
Yes.
We will just put them in the pile next to, all of the Phyrexian mana cards and just be done with it.
Clues, why is that pile in the fireplace?
Well, it's where it belongs.
Oh, okay.
It knows what it did.
That's probably actually true.
Well, look, Falcor.
Hooray.
Anyway. So, yeah. If you're into, dual commander, then you knew that already because it happened last week. And if you're not, well, sorry you had to hear it here, I guess. Yay, dual commander. Is this really a thing?
Like, dual commander?
Do enough people play this for us to bother reporting on this? Let us know. Hit us up on Twitter and just let us know, because this always seems
completely...
We are
biased by the fact that we primarily play multiplayer Magic.
Yeah, and this is this weird, like, sub-genre of another sub-genre. It's very strange to me. So if this is enough of a thing, then by all means... Let us know.
Yeah, this isn't us putting down the format. It's just asking if there's actually interest.
Exactly. Although I can totally put down the format if you like.
I mean, Chewy will put down pretty much anything for a dollar.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Clues, give me a dollar.
Yeah. Okay. Can you stop the top?
Stop the top sucks. See? I'll put down anything for a dollar.
No, that's not really what we were... You're not getting your dollar.
No.
If you think Chewy deserves a dollar, he does have a Patreon.
Where, a couple weeks ago, you could have heard Clues swear up a storm.
Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I mean, I don't either. So, let's move on to other news that happened last week. So, the tournament rules update now is going to have release notes every, was it every release of a set?
Should be every release, yes.
Okay. Sort of like the release notes for, I guess now they call it the FAQ? Or do they, now they call it the release notes? I can't remember. I
think it's now called the release notes, but we still call it the FAQ.
Okay.
Like, it was the FAQ, but it turns out there aren't actually questions being answered, so they're...
Yeah, that's a very good point.
It's frequently answered answers. It's the FAA, it's but the that FAA, was taken, yeah. So...
FAA! Not to be confused with the FAA. Anyway, so... Scott Larrabee posted them on here. There's really only a couple things that are worth mentioning. Clues?
So the most important one is probably this. Hey, you know that guy who's a jerk and likes to play cards that take Jace. Control of their opponent?
Oh.
Yeah, well, yeah, Jace is a jerk too. But no, I'm talking like Mindslaver effects. Things like, oh, I don't know, that new Emrah Cool. How about that?
Hey, we'll be talking about that in just a bit.
Also, Mindslaver.
Everybody love that new Emrah Cool. When you take control of an opponent, it used to be, let me stress this, it used to be that one of those little known things you could do when you took control of an opponent was look at their sideboard. And this is one of those things that, you know, every now and then you get called and they'd say, hey, judge, my opponent wants to look at my sideboard because he's got control of me. Can he do that? And the answer used to be yes. And everybody went, that's dumb. And, yes, they've agreed. That's dumb. So they're not doing it anymore. So now if you gain control of an opponent and take their turn for them, you cannot, I repeat, cannot look at their sideboard. So cut it out.
Stop it.
You can do enough shenanigans. You don't need that. And you're certainly not going to get out your 3-ring binder and jot down every card that's in there for the next 20 minutes while we wait on you. So no, just no. That's the big one. No, no.
Oh, okay. Wait, why would you get out a 3-ring binder and jot down cards?
You wouldn't. That was hyperbole because it takes them way too long to jot down cards.
Because you're obviously running a Battle of Wits deck.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
God, don't run Battle of Wits.
You deserve to get Mindslavered.
What about on Magic Online?
No, don't even run it there. Don't reward them.
Dang
that
it,
card is going to go in the pile with all the Phyrexian mana cards and Dig Through Time and Treasure Cruise.
And the Tender. Top.
And the top.
Kerosene.
And kerosene and some flame. Lots.
Toys that never should have been approved and were sold to children in like the 70s? Yeah, lots all of it.
Flying fire. Oh, I'm sorry, we were talking about something. Other things that are important from here. Most of the things that are in the changes to the tournament rules are just clarifications and rewordings and that sort of thing. But the other one that might affect folks. Hey, you remember Grand Prix Trials?
I do.
And you remember how people used to love Grand Prix Trials?
I mean,
no.
I remember that they were preferable to PPTQs.
Yeah, and then the PPTQs came, and then like nobody does GPTs much anymore.
That all
but
sounds
if
accurate.
They do run a GPT, GPTs are no longer at competitive REL, that's rules enforcement level for those in the know. They are now regular rules enforcement level. This mainly means that they require an L1 judge, not an L2 judge. So now L1s can run GPTs, and they no longer require deck lists according to the tournament rules. However, your judge, store, and or tournament organizer may still require deck lists. Please refer to your event and ask your head judge. They'll tell you. They'll also tell you stop the top. No, they might not tell you that. Some of them seem to like it, but
weirdos.
Because judges come from a diversity of backgrounds and share a variety of opinions, even if they're wrong about not wanting to stop the top.
Liz, are you putting a judge in the pile?
No. No, okay. Of course not.
Just checking.
It would be wrong. I wouldn't put players in the pile either.
I don't know. That it's large really writhing mass sounds kind of like John Alderfer.
I would never put John Alderfer in the pile. He's a great guy.
He's got a very distinct voice, though.
He does.
He's a judge, for those of you that don't know.
He's not in the pile.
And he's apparently not in the pile. The pile just sounds like him. It's weird.
No, for a long time he was in the GP kit.
It's a very large kit.
Oh, actually, it is a very large kit. It's got all the zip banners and the clocks and
John Alderfer.
And John Alderfer.
Anyway, so.
And that's where judges come from.
So is there anything else in the tournament rules release notes that...
I didn't see anything else that was important enough to talk about.
Yep, those are the two things that seem to make people talk. All right, then. So next up, there's some Two-Headed Giant release notes, too, on the Magic Judges blog. Because Two-Headed Giant is a little weird if you're not used to it.
Little?
Okay, well, I guess if you're completely not used to it, it's completely bizarre. But it's there are some card-specific notes on here about how they would work in Two-Headed Giant. And the big one, I think there's two. The big one is Imrakul. Imrakul in Two-Headed Giant, when you take control of one player, you take control of both players. Because, yeah.
I think finding a way for that to work without you taking control of both would have been harder than just going with this.
Probably.
Like, if you're controlling half of a head, like, I don't even know where you would begin with how that would work mechanically.
Well, I mean, it seems like it would be easy enough. You just...
Well, they don't take turns, though. They do all their stuff at the same time, don't they?
True, but you could still theoretically control just your stuff and... Or just that one player's stuff, just like that player does. Because you still attack with your stuff, you just do it at the same time as your opponent. Or as your teammate, rather. But you're right, this was probably a lot cleaner and a lot less dumb. And also, when you take an extra turn after Imrakul, both of you take an extra turn. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Again, because how would you do it otherwise?
I am also fairly certain that this is not a change. I think all Mindslaver effects work this way in Two-Headed Giant.
Right, most likely.
I've just never really run across one, because it's pretty uncommon.
Like, the last time we had a Mindslaver effect was what?
Mindslaver was reprinted recently, wasn't it? You know, for a certain value of recently.
Like, was it in Scars of Mirrodin?
Ah, okay. It is in the Comprehensive Rules 805.8, the Shared Team Turns option. And yeah, this is just the way Mindslaver controls effect, or Mindslaver effects work. So.
But again, because you might not have known that, that's why it's in the card-specific notes here. I mean, Clues didn't know that, although he thought he did.
You read it somewhere else, but you heard it here first.
Yeah. The other one that I really liked is the Tree of Perdition.
Oh, trees.
In Two-Headed Giant, your life total is the same as your team's life total. So the activated ability exchanges the toughness with the opposing team's life total. But it only counts as losing or gaining life only for the player that you target with the ability. So let's say there's Steve A and Steve F, because the other Steves were unavailable, and you target Steve A with the Tree of Perdition, and the Tree of Perdition becomes a 0/30, but only Steve A loses life.
Yes.
In case there's something else on the board that cares about a player losing life. So yay! Everything else is sort of, if you already know the rules to Two-Headed Giant, it's kind of obvious, so yeah. But if you want to read those are in the show notes as well. Okay, so that's all of the news from last week, but since we're in news, we might as well knock the rest of this out, huh?
May as well.
Oh wait, that's not all of the news, because they also revealed the San Diego Comic-Con Magic promos.
They are
zombies. Which are awesome, and then SDCC happened and people bought them.
I wasn't quite as enthused about this batch as the last ones.
Oh, I think they're freaking sweet.
Oh, I think they're sweet, but I don't think I'm gonna fight for them. Like, at the end of the day, they pretty much look like someone did, you know, card alters. I mean, they're really cool. The art's great.
Yeah, but I gotta say, their altar's done right. Hey, if anybody picked up a spare one and is willing to sell it to Old Clues here at not crazy prices, get in touch on Twitter.
Okay.
Because I can find them for crazy prices on the eBays, but I'm looking for not crazy prices. I don't believe so.
Wayne's. So yeah, they're all zombies. Except for Lily, of course.
But I mean, it's got some nice touches. I mean, like Gideon, his missing arm that has the Soral is wrapped around his neck.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's cool. Like he's bling now.
Jace has eaten his own brains, and good. Chandra caught herself on fire. And
Chandra looks like a cinder.
Nobody cares about Nissa still.
Oh, but she has flowers growing out of her head. Duh.
Nissa looks like she was defeated by the fairies from Fern Gully.
Oh, that's depressing.
I mean, like, they're neat. It's cool. I mean, and you know, if for $100 you get a set of the 5 Flameswalkers, that's not exactly a bad deal either way.
Nope.
But I don't think they could have gone back and done another set of like the all black printing, because they've done that 3 times now.
Yeah.
So that's just played out. But I won't deny that for all the flaws with it, they were definitively, these are the San Diego Comic-Con cards. When you see them, you could tell. For these ones, they're neat, but they're just alt art cards. Like, they don't have...
But I really like these, man. They're thematic. They're all well done. They work well with the set. I mean, yeah. I think it's really nice. And Liliana's all how you like me now. I mean, look at that. She's triumphant.
She definitely is doing the gold teeth when I smile thing.
I'm pretty confident she is not a crook. Ask your parents. We've actually reached that point.
I have never really been a fan of the San Diego Comic-Con ones, probably because I'm broke. So, like, these things that are just trinkets that are worth a lot of money that people are going to go acquire and then sell for stupid amounts of money, they just, whatever. They're like a needless luxury, you know?
Yeah.
Like rent.
I don't think that's it, no.
The musical?
Yes.
Yeah, I was talking about the musical. Tickets to Rent, yes.
How many minutes? How do you measure
it? I don't know. I'm going to say something controversial here. I actually did not care for Rent.
I have never seen Rent.
So. I saw it. It was fine. Don't send me hate mail. It didn't really do it for me.
I haven't seen it. The last time I went to an actual musical was Avenue Q. And that's because it was Sesame Street for grown-ups, and that's all you have to do to get me to see something.
Yeah, now that one was really good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, and now I know what the internet's for, so thank goodness.
I also saw Book of Mormon recently, and that was pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
I guess maybe I want my musicals to be funny, huh?
That's maybe so. I hadn't
really put that together.
I don't think Rent falls into that category.
No, it does not.
I don't believe that is the goal of Rent.
Yeah.
So, to finish off the news, if you haven't seen the Comic-Con previews yet, the link is in the show notes. Go check them out. Although, if you're anywhere near any sort of social media of any sort, then you've seen them. And if not, then, well, good for you for avoiding social media, because it's a dangerous place.
How'd you pull that off?
Hiding from the internet. Where it's safe.
Anyway.
But yeah, presumably they'll pop into the Hasbro store and you'll find out about it 10 seconds after it happens and it will be sold out. So, look forward to that.
Yay?
There is a thing that I don't think made it into the show notes, and I'm kind of afraid to bring it up because I don't know if you guys actually want to talk about it.
Oh, we'll drop it in the chat and we'll...
All right.
We'll discuss it in a minute.
And then if we don't, then people will wonder forever.
Exactly. It'll be a double bonus.
Well, then they should just know that thing that we didn't talk about that you wish we did, it was that one.
Oh, yeah, that one. That was it. So another thing that popped up in the last few days, Wizards has this new transparency on social media thing, and it comes from a corporate policy change at Hasbro, apparently. Hasbro? Yeah, bruh.
The broest of has.
Yeah, so now they're all going to be using a hashtag to make it completely clear that they're Wizards employees and that they're tweeting not necessarily on behalf of Wizards, but...
It's like a full disclosure thing.
Yeah, someone...
This person talking about magic works for Wizards. That's just what they want you to know.
Yes.
Which is kind of entertaining to me because I saw a few comments when it first popped out that, you know, like, well, that's going to make it harder to tweet because you're going to be throwing in a hashtag that's just going to be eating up your characters. And if you've ever followed me on Twitter, you know that this is not nearly as big of a deal as people make it out to be. I waste at least 15 characters a tweet by default. I believe in them. Restriction can breed creativity. And by saying that out loud, he has like 4 characters left. It'll be awesome. Hashtag yup.
Wouldn't that be hashtag squee yup?
Well, not in 4 characters, it's not.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, if you happen to notice people from Wizards adding a random, seemingly obvious hashtag,
yeah,
it's because they have to, not because they really want you to know.
And the obligatory other end of the disclaimer is that just because you see the hashtag doesn't mean the person using it is from Wizards. They're not policing that because you can't.
That is an excellent point. And before people ask, why don't they just put it in their profile? You can change a profile after a tweet, but if they stick it in the tweet, it's still there.
It's also a link. So if you really want to find all the people from Wizards that are on Twitter, click on the hashtag and scroll around.
Oh, hey, there you go. Look at that.
That's actually a function of these things and why they exist.
Oh, goodness.
Uh-oh. Chewie's dying.
Excuse me. It's that strawberry banana hiccup.
There are worse ways to go.
So, okay, so when every new set comes out, there's a survey that Wizards does. So I don't know when this one ends. Usually by the time we talk about it, it's over. But this one's still going. So there's an Eldritch Moon survey. Link is in the show notes. Go check it out. And if it's still going, then be honest, for good or for ill, and let them know what you think. Because they want the truth. They don't want, this is amazing, if it's actually not amazing.
And they don't want, this is crap, if it's not actually crap.
Yeah. And if you do, this is crap, be sure you give reasons why you say that. This is crap because crap. Yeah, see, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because I said so. Because I didn't win my pre-release. What? I didn't win my pre-release either. But you can hear about that on the last episode of The Manipool, where I get to rant about top-heavy pre-release prize payouts and number of rounds based on attendance at a pre-release. Long story short, Mike and I both finished 4-2 at our pre-release because there were 6 rounds. Mike got 10 packs. I got no packs for the same record.
Magic.
Because the prize payout was like all the top 8 and it was heavily top 8. I finished 9th. Mike finished 6th. So there was another tier of prizes between me and Mike. But like, I don't care. I'm used to losing or not winning at pre-releases. That's fine. But for other people, like new players, like casual players, like players who pre-releases are for, that's terrible. So yeah, if you're at a place that does, you know, fun based on record pre-releases, then consider yourself lucky.
It is superior.
Yes. Is that everything? Oh, okay. And one more thing. If you're gonna buy, no, just don't. Just don't buy loose packs.
Particularly not from the internet.
Right. Don't buy loose packs from the internet. If you trust your local GameStop, GameStop.
Don't trust your local GameStop.
Yeah, don't trust them. If you trust your local card shop, then by all means, feel free to buy packs from them. But this comes up because apparently in some boxes of Eldritch Moon, it's possible to find where the mythics are.
Yeah.
And that leads to shadiness and terrible. So be sure, if you have one of the nice, innocent type of local game shops, be sure to tell them to like shuffle the packs around when they open a box. And
yeah, because if there's nothing wrong, shuffling the packs around does nothing. And if there's something wrong, well, you fixed it.
Exactly.
It takes very little effort to do this, and it makes everyone else feel more comfortable too.
And since online places all have some degree of non-transparency when it comes to that sort of thing, like, oh, I just bought, you know, 3 extra packs with my leftover credit. Well, since you don't know those people directly, it's possible that they've found where all the mythics were and fished those packs out and have opened them to sell the singles.
And
you're getting the crap.
Like, you can't know.
There's literally no way to know. So to be safe, just if you're going to buy packs, buy a sealed box. If you're not going to buy a sealed box, buy them from a local game shop or something like that that you trust.
Or if you actually absolutely get backed into a corner, you can buy the blister packs, which have like single packs in them.
Yeah.
But I mean, you would prefer to not have to go to like a big box store. You'd rather go to your local game store.
That's right. Support
the option is technically there.
Yes. So that's all. We wanted to throw that out there as a public service.
The more you know.
Shooting star.
Trademark.
Okay, so since we did the news first, now we should talk about the new cards. Because Eldritch Moon has released now, and as is usually the case, Star City had an open on release weekend. This one was in Columbus?
It was in Columbus, but before we go into that, I do want to ask, hey, listeners, since we're asking for feedback on things, do you prefer the news up front or the tournaments up front? I have no idea. I just thought we'd ask. Let Chewie know on Twitter, let's say.
Yeah,
tell him what you're talking about.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, this time, tell him what you're talking about. Yeah.
Gee, thanks, Clues.
You're welcome. We're turning over a new leaf for this one question.
Maybe we'll promptly turn the leaf back over because, you know, people expect the other leaf. Hashtags bottom of the leaf is a mystery.
Like when it rains, the leaves turn over? Is that how that works?
that a myth? I don't pay attention.
Rain is real. I've seen it.
No, it is not a myth that you don't pay attention. That's true.
I hate you.
I also, hate me too.
Also not a myth. Okay, so the Star City Open was in Columbus, and Standard had 500, what does that say? 532 people playing, which is not a small number.
Yeah, and again, this is essentially the days you can first buy the cards, so these are probably the pre-order champions if they're rocking playsets of New Mythics.
Which, I mean, is what the serious players do, so.
Yeah, and that's sort of the point, but I'm mostly saying that as just a note of, like, for all the stuff that we're going to have today, this is day one metagame, which is probably one of the only times when availability might actually be a factor.
Yeah.
At even the high end. So we may run across some cards in here that maybe people are only running one or two of to test, but they might also only be running one or two because it's literally all they could find in time for the second day tournament. So just take that with a grain of salt. Most of the real new format solidifying stuff happens when, by the time we get to the Pro Tour.
Which is in what? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? Something
usually
like that.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think it's 2 weeks.
Okay. All right then. So, in Standard, Devin K won with, Bant Company, and get used to hearing that.
Yep.
I mean, I'm already used to hearing that.
Yeah, well, it didn't get any better. Or worse. Whichever. Yeah,
I dare say it got better.
So, the Bant Company deck in first place is running, Selfless Spirit, which I didn't even see this in the, card image gallery. Just completely missed me. But then I don't play Company or anything, so that's probably why I missed it.
That's the 2/1 flyer for two that you can sacrifice to give creatures you control indestructible till end of turn.
Yeah. He totally died for your sins.
Went there with it, huh?
Well, I mean, did you read it? Yeah. It also got Spell Queller.
Which is relevant.
Yeah, this is, this thing's pretty nuts. It's the 2/3 spirit with flash and flying. When it enters the battlefield, you exile target spell with converted mana cost 4 or less. And when it leaves the battlefield, that exiled card's owner can cast it for free. And it costs 1 a white and a blue. So it's a 3 mana 2/3 flying, counterspell.
It, like I was saying before, it plays like fairies from the old, like, Lorwyn era fairies deck. You have an evasive creature that's reasonably costed that also doubles as a counterspell.
Yep.
And that's good.
It's borderline stupid.
As it turns out, a counterspell that leaves behind an evasive creature is really good. And in the case of this one in particular, it's really good because if the spell that you're exiling is, say, a counterspell or something like that in the late game, well, when someone kills it later and it comes back, great. They can cast that counterspell on an empty stack.
Yeah, wait.
And now it's gone. So it also exiles the spell instead of countering it outright at the beginning. So it's not in your graveyard to feed Jace or any of that other nonsense. So it's very good and will probably continue to be good for the foreseeable future as long as control is vaguely an archetype.
So do you know what I find interesting about this one?
The Spell Queller?
Yeah, the Spell Queller.
What's that?
The fact that it used the old template?
They're using the old templating.
Yeah.
You can abuse this.
What?
If you can get your Spell Queller to leave the battlefield before the first trigger resolves, the second trigger does nothing, so they don't get to cast it. And then the first trigger resolves and it exiles it forever.
Yay!
That's kind of strange. I thought they had completely gone away from that sort of templating.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out why they did that here, because it seemed odd after they'd gone through the trouble of fixing it. And my original thought was, well, if it goes away, you just shorted yourself out of a really good creature, and that sucks. But then, like, wait, you're playing blue.
Yeah, just
so now for a kicker of a bounce spell, you've permanently countered something. Or a flicker effect or anything else. There's tons of nonsense that could be happening here. I'm sure the actual timing breaks down in interesting ways, but it is an odd choice.
I wonder if they meant for it to be abusable, or they just missed it, which I don't consider likely, or they couldn't find a good way to word it so that it wouldn't be too... I mean, the type they're using is already tiny, and it's a mouthful to begin with, so...
That was what I was thinking, was that it wouldn't fit properly.
Yeah.
Although you'd think they could like put Flash and Flying on the templating? Same. What's a what?
What's the name of one of the cards that has the current templating?
Banisher Priest?
Yeah, there you go. I think.
I want to compare that and see if there's something I'm missing that maybe is unique about this card. I can't imagine.
Yeah, the way I would probably do it is when Spellqueller enters the battlefield, exile target spell with converted mana cost 4 or less until Spellqueller leaves the battlefield, and then put a trigger on when a spell exiled with Spellqueller returns from exile, you may cast it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
blah,
I think that second fact of them being able to cast it.
Yeah, there's no clean way to do that.
I was going to say returns to where from exile?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah,
it can't return like to the stack. You have to cast it again. So, yeah, I think that's actually just it.
Hmm. Yeah, okay, well, there you go.
And still, if someone has, you know, on the R&D team has written about this, then let us know.
Yeah, or if you're from the R&D team and you did this, let us know.
Yeah.
Also, tell us why. Just
That's why. What we really meant.
No, not that. I mean, just why. The whole thing. Like, why did you bring back fairies? You're a monster. So, hey, that's in this deck, and you'll see more of it later.
A lot later. Also, hey, look, New Thalia.
Yeah, she's...
Yay!
With her glorious hair.
I have played with this card now.
And?
She is exactly as good as you expect her to be.
Yay!
Like, even in... Normally, it's one of those things like, okay, well, the thing about non-basic lands coming in tapped is whatever when you're playing in limited. The effect of having creatures come in tapped in an aggressive color is always important. And her playing off the first strike is just sick because they're not going to play anything that isn't going to die if it tries to block her. And they're not going to, if they try to play something that's big enough to actually deal with her, well, it came in tapped. So she is exactly fitting in the role you would expect her to. And I'm only imagining that looking at the density of non-basic lands in these things, that's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
Like, imagine how miserable it is to put down an Evolving Wilds that comes in tapped. Just think about that.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Your Evolving Wilds comes in tapped. The next turn you sacrifice it to get another tapped land. You have just been completely hosed by Thalia. And Evolving Wilds is not the best card ever, but that really punches the fixing hard.
Yeah. And it's being played because it's in this deck.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, she's good.
Yeah, yeah. Expect to see more of her later. Not as much as Spellqueller, but still... plenty.
Yeah.
So that's the new stuff in this Bant Company deck. There are more Bant Company decks with more different new stuff, so.
There are many like it, but this one is his.
Exactly. Aliantrazi's in second place with Sultai Control. He's running an Emrakul, Ishkana Graph Widow. There we go.
The Legendary Spider.
Yeah, the Legendary Spider. New Lily, Murder, Scour the Laboratory, and Oath of Lily, all in the main board.
Can I just say that the Legendary Spider sounds like a Disney cartoon from the 80s?
It kind of does, yeah.
Okay.
Huh. And he's also got Summary Dismissal in the board, another Ishkana and another Liliana. Summary Dismissal in the board, that's the 2 blue instant, exile all other spells and counter all abilities, with the flavor text, let's start fresh, shall we? That saying Summary Dismissal in the board is going to get old soon because it's there.
Yeah.
I had to read Scour the Laboratory again. That's the instant 6 cost draw 3 cards. But if you have Delirium, then it only costs 4 to draw 3 cards. Whew. But what if it costs 2 less?
Evidently, you draw a lot of cards.
Whew. Yeah, this Sultai Control deck is, it's basically the Sultai Control deck we've seen, just with new toys to play with.
Yeah. And more to the point, it's a deck that's capable of surviving without white.
Yes.
Which has become increasingly rare over this last few sets.
Yeah. Still rocking the Dragonlord Silumgar. Look at that.
Well, you got 3 months. Enjoy it.
Yeah. And Baby Jace, and I'm sorry, Flippy Jace. All that
also
good stuff.
Also has 3 months.
So that's second place. Third K. Kyle, oh god, does anyone know how to pronounce Kyle's last name?
Nope, but I'll pronounce it wrong for you.
Oh, please do.
Go for it.
Let's go with, Bogomez.
But yeah, that sounds good. Kyle, his Bant Company deck is running Spellqueller in the main. Like, that's the only new card. And then there's the Summary Dismissal and Athalia in the board.
Yay! Yeah. On the Athalia, not the Summary Dismissal. Don't get crazy.
I don't know, Clues. It's a blue card that really only hurts other blue cards. And also other cards.
So, it hurts us all, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it doesn't pick. But it exiles everything.
It's like, right, stop that.
But it's mainly going to come in to screw over everything.
No more singing. Yeah, let's start calling Summary Dismissal No More Singing.
Stop that. So yeah, fourth place, because we got a lot of decks to go through here. Fourth place is a green-white tokens deck, by Eric Rill. And Eric Rill has Ishkana, two of them. And that's it.
Spiders.
Which, I mean, yeah, makes sense.
Chewie loves this artwork.
Actually, the artwork is really cool.
See?
This deck can't actually make the black mana, right? Like, no one's gonna use the spider ability anyway, but it just can't.
Let's see. Well, it's got Oath of Nissa, which doesn't help at all, but it's got it. It's got, it can't make black mana at all, it doesn't appear.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect it to.
You think there'd be, like, a black source just in case, but nope.
Like, just for the very inefficient, like, one life loss?
Hey, sometimes it's all you need.
Hey, sometimes it's four.
And he could cast two. No, that doesn't work. It's legendary.
Yeah.
It would not be a good choice to cast two.
Not so much.
Though Chewie would be slightly happier.
Yeah, because then they'd all die. No, they wouldn't. Yeah, damn it.
Just one of them.
Stupid new legend rule making me not kill spiders.
Quote unquote new.
Look, when you've been through as many legend rule updates as I have, yeah, it's the new one. Until they realize that something else is dumb and they'll change it to something else in another 3 or 4 or 5 years. Okay, fifth place is Dan Jessup with a Bant Company deck running, hey look, Spellqueller, Thalia, Summary Dismissal in the board, and oh look, Tomio! Hey!
Wait, who?
Yeah, one in the main, one in the board. Check that out. No, yay. Really, check that out.
I'm glad she's actually in a Bant deck, at least for now.
Yeah, I don't know, I mean, there's just the two, so no telling you.
Well, like, as long as Bant's big, there's always a possibility, but I don't know. Like, the 3-mana walkers tend to have a really hard time breaking in, so I'm hoping she at least gets some presence.
You get an emblem that says, everyone hates you.
Yay.
I have a few of those.
So, in sixth place, Matthew Voltz, with a Z, with a cool name, is running a green-red goggles deck. With
the goggles, they come in sixth.
With no new cards. Not a one. No votes at all. Not a sausage. Bugger all. He liked the deck the way it was, and he finished sixth with it, so...
Seems to work.
Yeah.
I wonder if the decks that were trying to do new and different things meant that a more direct and tested deck like this just did better than it normally would.
Quite possibly.
Because, I mean, it wasn't trying to do anything new, and it's a very straightforward deck from what I can tell. What do I want to do? Kill you. How am I going to kill you? With these cards. Okay. That's strategy. What are you doing? I'm going to see if this card works. Yeah, you're dead. Aw.
But wait, those cards that you want to kill me with cost a lot of mana. Yeah, yeah, they do. That's why I have all this card draw and all this ramp and all this card draw and all this ramp. And now you're dead, so stop it.
Teach you to run that card where we each loot it end of turn. That was stupid.
Neener, neener. Seventh place, Casey Walton is playing a black-green Seasons Pass deck with New Lily.
And she is a good option at 3 mana.
And that's it. Hey, look, there's Transgress the Mind. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Should check that out, Clues.
No, I'm good.
You sure you don't want to just mouse right over that?
Nope.
Okay, well, in case you change your mind, let me know. But yeah, it's that deck where you've got your couple of good creatures and all of your spells are, what is it? It's murder and disruption. Yeah. And card draw.
Yeah.
And
it's
that's
control.
And then Seasons Pass just to get some more.
To get more.
More value. Even more value.
When you reload your hand of 4 to 5 cards that ruin your opponent's day, it's really hard to lose.
Yeah. So wait, what was that?
That was number seven.
That was seventh place. Okay, so eighth place is awesome. Is our first straight up new style of deck.
Yeah.
It's not really straight up new, but it's got enough new stuff that it feels new. It's a black white. It's a black white control deck, but it's black white angel control.
Yes.
And here's why. So let's do the easy part first. It's running two of the new Liliana, one Kool-Aid Man Up Nyxilis, and two Sorin Grim Nemesis. Okay, we got that?
Yeah, right. That's a really interesting party.
Yeah, it makes me want to dungeon crawl or something.
Are they all people who hate Nahiri? I don't know what Liliana's opinion of Nahiri is.
Well, since Liliana likes it where she lives, yes, you're probably right.
I'm pretty sure she's pissed off at her right now.
Yeah.
I mean, she did kind of drop a spaghetti monster on her house. It's hard to stay friendly after that.
The spells are, again, all murder and card draw and disruption, including one Blessed Alliance, the uncommon Escalate white spell, where
really
you
good.
Gain four life or untap up to two target creatures or target opponent sacks an attacking creature.
That's the one.
With Escalate.
That's the one you see the most.
That is the one. But then the creature base. Okay, so we've got Archangel Avacyn because we said it was angel control, right? So surely you're running Archangel Avacyn.
Right.
Better.
You've got Kalitas because he's just stupidly good.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Linvala the Preserver.
Yes.
Both of those reasons, stupidly good and, you know, angel. Since all three of those are legendary, let's throw in some Thalia's Lancers.
Which are amazing.
Which are amazing. Just two of those. And then, okay, yeah, let's throw in a Bruna and three Gisela.
Bam.
Because sometimes you just want to have a Brizella and punch your opponent in the face with it, but more than likely you just want to kill them with a Gisela before they get a chance.
I think your main appeal there is that you play the Gisela, you just start swinging, and then if they deal with it, well, Bruna's bringing that back, and then it's worse.
Yep. Now, if you look over in the board, there's all kinds of nonsense going on in this board. But there's a second Bruna, and a third Liliana, and there's a Collective Brutality.
Brutality.
That card is weird.
That card is weird. I had it in my pool at the pre-release, but I didn't play black.
I still don't know how I feel about it.
So this is the target opponent reveals his or her hand, and you make them discard an instant or sorcery. Target creature gets -2/-2, or you suck two life out of a target opponent with Escalate of discard a card.
Yeah.
But the first one only costs one and a black.
But I mean, it's only ever going to cost one and a black. So.
Yeah, but then you have to discard cards past that, so.
And it's very well designed because if you're playing with Madness cards, then you're only spending two of your mana. And so with the Madness discount, you might be getting extra amazing out of it.
Yeah.
But the main thing about it is it gives you the ability, as has been seen many times in Magic, to do a lot of things without spending a lot of mana, which gets busted really fast. The reason why I'm not entirely sure about it is because all the abilities on it are good, but I don't know when I would want to use it. I guess you just, cause like after a certain point, the -2/-2 is not going to matter as much. And losing two life and gaining two life is nice, but I don't know if it's ever really worth throwing a card away unless you have to enable madness for something. And.
Or unless they're at two.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then it's wonderful, obviously.
Yeah.
And then, you know, target opponent revealing their hand and choosing an instant or sorcery from it for them to discard is something that you pretty much do just to clear the path. And so I think its real job is just like, you know, turn, you know, five or six or whatever in the later control area to see what's there. And I've got a land I don't need anymore. Chuck it. But in deck with all these expensive effects, I don't know how often it wants to do that. I would be curious to see how well it worked in practice. Because this deck doesn't have madness cards in it, does it?
Not a one.
No, it doesn't.
No. So like you're actually losing cards.
It is also playing one Gyre Reach Sanitarium, where for two and tap, each player loots.
Yeah. So it's the legitimate looting, too, not rummaging. You draw the card first, then discard.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I'm guessing that's just for digging out a thing that you desperately need, I guess?
Well, if the game goes long enough to take advantage of it, then it becomes this nice thing of, you know, end of their turn and they can't cast anything. You know, the looting is only going to help them so much. Especially if they're out of cards, in which case they're just milling. Whereas for you, having all of these legendary things floating around, occasionally lets you upgrade to something better, or at least more playable in the situation.
Also, the Thalia's Lancers in a pinch can go get the Gaia Reach Sanitarium because it's legendary.
Yeah, there's that.
So sure. But okay.
The Lancers are better than I think a lot of people realized.
Yeah, they can get the Oaths.
Yeah.
Because those are legendary. So that's a thing. Not in this deck, but it is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the top eight. Going past that, let's see here. And ninth is a green-white tokens deck where the only new card that I saw was the Noose Constrictor.
Snake.
You know, the not-quite, Wild Mongrel. The not-quite Wild Mongrel. Which Wild Mongrel was busted more because of the things you could do with free discard, not so much the Wild Mongrel itself.
Yeah, I mean, it's a free discard outlet that, you know, will occasionally also just turn a random card you don't care about into the difference in combat, but it's a bear. It's a reach snake.
And it has reach, so that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Oh, because it's on a noose. I get it. It's up in the air. See what they did there.
Yep.
10th place is a Bant Company deck that's running Tamiyo and the Elder Deep Fiend.
This one's a lot more in. There's three Tamiyo.
Yeah, that's true. But the Elder Deep Fiend is on the board. We're going to hear more about it in a second, so I might as well tell you. Yeah. That's the...
Oh, this one also had the Spell Quellers because it's banned. So.
Oh, right, right.
Just get used to that.
Yeah. I had already stopped seeing that at this point because it was sort of, what's the word, ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm.
But the Elder Deep Fiend is the 5/6 Flash Emerge Eldrazi Octopus that when you cast it, you tap up to 4 target creatures.
Let's rewind. Eldrazi Octopus.
Yep.
Carry on.
It's sort of like zombie fish or frog horror. It's Eldrazi Octopus. Or fish lizard. There's
so many great cover bands out of this.
The fish lizard is in this deck too, but of course it's Bant Company.
Lizard?
No. Stop that. So that's that. Wait, hang on. Where's my list? In 11th place, a green-white tokens deck with nothing new. This is the exact old green-white tokens deck.
Sure.
And look, 11th place. So hey, who says you need the new stuff?
The top eight.
Yes. Tom Ross is in 12th with a white-red humans deck that is running Repel the Abominable in the sideboard. I don't even remember what that is. Repel the Abominable is prevent all damage that would be dealt this turn by non-human sources. Oh, yeah. Because humans. Duh.
It's Dude Fog.
It's Dude Fog, yeah. That's gross.
It is.
13th place is a Blue-White Spirits deck, piloted by Jeff Hoagland with Mausoleum Wanderer. I gotta look that one up too. Which one is that?
Mausoleum Wanderer. Single blue, 1/1 flyer. Whenever another spirit enters the battlefield under your control, Mausoleum Wanderer gets +1/+1 until end of turn, and you can sacrifice it to counter target instant sorcery spell unless its controller pays X, where X is its power. So, remember when I compared these things to fairies? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gonna keep happening.
And guess what? Rattle Change is a spirit. Selfless Spirit is a spirit. Spell Quiller is a spirit. Lots of spirits.
And Rattle Change gives all of your spirits flash. Like fairies.
I'm detecting a theme here.
Could be.
So yeah, this is the... It's a slightly more focused version of the Blue-White Flyers deck that we've seen recently. There's also Blessed Alliance in the board for this one too. Get the feeling we're going to be seeing a lot of that too.
It seems pretty likely.
Yeah. Oh, and Summary Dismissal in the board because playing blue, so Summary Dismissal in the board.
Yeah.
And I hate clues.
That's understandable. He's good people though.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Okay, here we go. 14th place. Jack Fogle is playing a Bant Company deck with 4 Elder Deep Fiend in the main.
Boom. This thing's cost 8. Asterisk. You'll never pay 8.
Yeah. It's also got Foul Emissary, which I had to read twice. So Foul Emissary is the 1/1 human horror for 2 and a green. When it enters the battlefield, you look at the top 4 of your library. You can reveal a creature and put it in your hand. The rest go on the bottom of your library in any order. And if you sacrifice, what, this is so specific. When you sacrifice Foul Emissary while casting a spell with Emerge, you get a 3-2 Eldrazi Horror.
Synergy! Yeah.
That's so, I did not realize he was that specific.
Specific synergy!
But he works really well with the Elder Deep Fiend, I guess, because you're only paying, 4 for the Elder Deep Fiend, and you're getting a 5-6 and a 3-2. That seems good. Seems good.
Made to be eaten. I sympathize.
Yeah.
He's also that said, he looks like the creepy bad guys from Final Fantasy Tactics, so I don't like him.
Oh. Wow. Huh. It's also running Spellqueller and Repel the Abominable in the board. Spellqueller's main, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, let's see. 15th place is another white-red humans deck. That's, I think, if it's not exactly the same as the 12th place deck, it's really close. And then 16th was another Bant Company with the Selfless Spirit, the Spellqueller, and Thalia. And that's where I stopped, because I'm not going through all 64 decks looking for...
Yeah, suffice it to say, there are some new cards sprinkled in. Do you want to talk about any of the other archetypes that are floating around out there, or are we good?
Yeah, it just occurred to me that there are things in here that that didn't make the top 16.
Like, if you skip all the Bant Companies, we eventually reach other stuff. Bant Company is still a big thing.
Good lord, Bant Company... Okay, wait, where did I stop? 16th? So Bant Company is in 17th, 18th, 19th, 21st, 24th, 26th, 28, 29, 31, 32, 33.
Yeah.
39, 41. Okay, I'm just going to stop because now I'm depressed. So in 20th place is a green-black Delirium deck.
With new cards.
And old cards that no one's seen in a long time.
Yeah. So it's running the Deathmist / Footloose Raptor. Still dancing.
Look at him.
Dancing till the end. And the Den Protectors, which we know and have accepted as being part of Standard forever.
For 3 months.
For 3 months. Forever. And the Sylvan Advocate, because green.
Yes.
But on top of all that, we have floating around in here the Return of Mindrak Demon.
You remember that guy?
I actually watched an opponent die to their own Mindrak Demon last Friday night. It was amazing.
Whoops.
He completely whiffed when he put the top 4 cards down to try to hit his Delirium. And it was like, oh, yeah. No, I am not going to block your creature and send it to the graveyard. Too bad. You get no artifacts. You are dead.
I will take 4 so that I may win.
Yeah. It was great. Like a mic kind of play. But yeah, so you got that. But then mixed in with all of that, we've got Ishkana Graf Widow, the new legendary spider that we're just talking about. And we have the Gnarlwood Dryad, which is a... Dryad Horror, a green for a 1/1 with Death Touch, which is probably all you really want out of it, but it gets a little bit bigger with Delirium. It gets +2/+2, so that's kind of neat. It sort of nacoddles its way up with Death Touch as you hit Delirium, which...
Yeah, I hear 3/3s for 1 are pretty good.
Yeah.
Nacoddles its way up.
Like, they were banned in Modern for a while.
Yeah. And this one has Death Touch, so even if it's not there yet, it's still trading with everything.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So that's pretty effective. And then the other, like, big, fancy, flashy thing, and here's the Grim Flayer, the new human warrior.
I love this card. I really hope that it ends up doing something, because it seems amazing.
There's a lot of text on it. So, just to go over what it is, because I didn't know what it was until I saw this here. It's a black and a green for a 2/2, human warrior mythic. It's got trample, so your 2/2 would trample, like, go get him, bear. And it kind of looks like an angry Grizzly Adam. Whenever Grim Flayer deals combat damage to a player, look at the top 3 cards of your library, put any number of them into your graveyard, and put the rest back on top of your library in any order. And that's whenever it does damage to a player, combat damage to a player. So that can happen multiple times. And noted it as trample, but more importantly, when you have Delirium, it gets +2/+2. At which point you have a 4/4 with trample, and if any of it tramples over, you get to start, messing around with the top of your deck and feeding your graveyard. So. That's pretty great.
He seems really good.
There's 4 of them. And no, it's not legendary. You can just run them.
Yeah.
Also, Liliana's in the deck. Because, duh.
Because, duh. Yeah.
You're running black. Have fun.
Like, this deck is such a trip. It's got Kalitas in the board.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind that with Liliana's -2 ability, she's turning on the Delirium pretty easily. Because, you're putting 2 cards in your graveyard. But... then you can return a creature to your hand And in a deck with 20 creatures in the main, you can probably just keep doing that and then cycling nonsense. So, all in all, it looks pretty smooth.
Yeah. And the spells are just murder. Yeah. Deadweight, Grasp of Darkness, Ruinous Path. Oh, we can't say murder because that's an actual card. Whoops.
They are just 187.
Yeah, because, like I said, Deadweight, Grasp of Darkness, Ruinous Path. Just kill that, kill all the things. They're all
good. Kill it. Sometimes my land gets up.
Further down, there was a Bant Humans deck.
Yeah.
That's in 23rd. That's running Thalia's Lieutenant, which is not new. I'm thinking of... Oh, there's Thalia. Okay, I was thinking of Thalia. Oh, there she is. And yeah. Tamiyo.
Because
just,
Bant.
Just one, though. Because Bant. It's also a Collected Company deck. So it's actually a Bant Company Humans deck. Damn it.
So many words.
Just ignore that, then. In 34th, there's a Blue-Red Eldrazi deck. You remember that? That deck?
That's weird.
But that's not new. And, in fact, I don't think it's running anything new. Hey, there's where Jace is. I opened a Jace at the pre-release, tried to sell it to the card shop. They're like, the buy list price is like $3. So I was like, I'll just keep it.
Keep trying, Jace. Maybe in 3 months.
Well, let's hope so, because I have one now and I would like to get rid of it. in 35th is a Bant Company Spirits deck.
Sure.
So it's all of the spirits that we talked about before, like Bygone Bishop. Remember that? It's pretty sick. Mausoleum Wanderer, the Nebelgast Herald. Oh, that's new. Okay, I was like, I don't even know this card. It's a 2/1 for 3 with Flash, Flying, and when it or another spirit enters the battlefield under your control, tap target creature and opponent controls. Ooh, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Rattle Chains, Haylook Reflector Mage because blue-white, Selfless Spirit, Spellqueller, and oh, Tamiyo. Oh, and Summary Dismissal in the board, because, duh.
Yay.
Wow, they even found a use for Essence Flux from Shadows.
Earned
for
it.
For those of you going, huh? Single blue, instant. Exile target creature you control, then return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control. If it's a spirit, put a +1/+1 counter on it. With the Nebelgast Herald and the Mausoleum Wanderer, that can get sick pretty fast.
It's like a weird, what was it, the Otherworldly Journey?
Yeah.
Blink variant from a long time ago?
Yeah. Did the Journey, was it the Journey an instantaneous blink, or did it come back at end of turn? I don't remember now.
I don't remember. I think it was end of turn.
Okay. Well, this one is at least the instantaneous blink, so you can do it.
Yeah.
In response to things.
If you blink your opponent's stuff, it doesn't necessarily come back with a counter.
Yeah, unless it's a spirit. Oh, wait, no. You have to, it's target creature you control.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
We've figured out the differences now. Awesome. Go team.
But yeah, the fact Learning. That you can blink something, like you can blink Rattle Chains in response to a removal spell to give whatever they're targeting hexproof. And now you have a 3/2 flyer.
Sure.
And that's just one of the many uses. You can blink a Spellqueller.
Well, I mean, we did just talk about how it's templated.
Yeah. So that's a thing. What? Is there anything else new? Here's a green-black Emerge deck. What's that? So it's things... Oh my god, it's running Decimator of the Provinces. What's up, Eldrazi Piggy? Distended Mindbender. That is the Emerge creature that... Target opponent reveals his or her hand. Choose from it a non-land card with converted mana cost 3 or less and a card with converted mana cost 4 or greater, and they discard those cards. Duskwatch Recruiter, Elvish Visionary, Foul Emissary, there's that guy. Loam Dryad, Mattery Shaper, Reality Smasher, Flippy Nissa, New Liliana, Deathcap Cultivator, which I missed, and Cryptolith Rite. What in the hell is going on here?
Which place was this?
49th. Green
okay,
Black
you skipped down way past where I was. I was trying to figure out where the deck was. Okay.
Ian Bosley.
Yeah.
Huh. Looks like it's trying to just ramp into the big scary things. Clues, you alive?
Yeah, I'm looking at this deck too.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, it's not nearly as committed to murder as other decks.
Yeah. That's trippy. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, there's a Sultai Emerge deck just below that in 52nd. What's going on here? This is that Sultai Eldrazi deck. But it's running the Elder Deep Fiend and Distended Mindbender. Cool. Alright, I think we might have fooled around long enough.
Yeah. Just one other thing of note. Back in 36, there's a Jund mid-range deck.
There's a what? How did I miss that?
I don't know. That's why I was confused when you were in the 40s. But the Jund mid-range deck is rocking a few of the new cards. I mean, like everything else, it's running Liliana because it's got black and all that stuff in it. Arlen Chandra, Obnixilis, all that. But what's neat and interesting about it is that the Woodland Bellower is here to dig out a non-legendary green creature with converted mana cost 3 or less. Like, what's it going to get? Like, what would you want to get? Like, there's all the normal suspects, but mixed in with it are two copies of Mournwillow, the plant skeleton from the current set. And
what now?
Yeah. Yeah. So Mournwillow, one of black and green, is a 3/2 plant skeleton with haste. And its delirium effect is that when it enters the battlefield, if there are four or more, yeah, whatever, delirium, in your graveyard, creatures with power 2 or less can't block this turn.
I'm no botanist, but...
You are a studier of skeletons.
That doesn't seem right.
There's a few things going on with it. It has haste, of all things.
Yeah, I mean, the 3/2 haste is immediately what pops into my head is...
Well, when I think plants and when I think skeletons, I think haste.
Obviously.
Well, I was thinking Bloodbraid Elf.
I mean, black-green is all about that haste.
And I think it's because of Woodland Bellower. So you Woodland Bellower for 6, you get a 6/5 and a 3/2 with haste that makes their small dudes unable to block.
Yeah.
Yeah, seems good.
I just thought that that was a neat interaction because I like it whenever they add in things that make old cards better. And I also like it whenever uncommons become relevant.
There are a lot of relevant uncommons in this set, too.
Yeah.
Wow, this deck is a trip.
But yeah, that's standard for right now. It'll probably be different in a few weeks.
Oh, almost certainly.
Just like last time, we're going to say that, yeah, this is what's going on right now. Not going to call it solved or anything like that. There's no sample size for it, so.
Holy crap, that Jund mid-range deck has Eternal Scourge in the sideboard.
Oh, yeah, it does.
That's the 3/3 for 3 that you can cast from exile. And when it becomes targeted by a spell or an ability an opponent controls, you exile it.
Yeah.
So eventually it's going to outlast them.
Yeah, it feels like it should have been printed in Future Sight or something.
Yeah, right? Very strange.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's standard.
Standard as it is.
There was a metagame breakdown, which I forgot to click on. So let's see here. Bant Company. The full metagame breakdown looks like this. Bant Company, 34. Oh, my God.
34, and there were that many of them in the top 64?
Yeah, I think this is the day. Yeah, this is day 2.
Okay.
So like, there were 34 that made day 2. How many people made day 2? Does it say 120 players?
So there were more than a quarter of the field.
Yes. The Blue-White Spirits deck, there were 18, 10 Bant Humans, 7 of the White-Red Humans, 6 Black-White Control, and then the rest is 4s and 3s and 2s and a lot of 1s, 1-ofs. Including Green-Black Aristocrats way down in 1. Or way down here with 1. Remember that? I do.
It was a while ago.
Not that long.
Oh, like the... Sorry, I was thinking back to the...
Yeah, you were thinking like when it was actually an Aristocrats deck.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So if you want to check out the metagame breakdown, then the link to that is in the show notes as well. So now let's go to Modern. So Modern, how many people were playing Modern? 216 playing Modern. Steven Martin 1 playing Decepticons with nothing to see here. Good old Yay. Decepticons deck.
This has not been a major set for Artifact, so.
Yeah, not so much.
They're in it, but.
Dorian Finn in second with Merfolk. Yup. You heard it.
I respect it.
I don't.
But...
I thought you liked fish.
They're like blue goblins. How can you not respect
them? Okay, if you have to play blue, play Merfolk.
Exactly.
And reevaluate your life choices.
Yeah, what kind of weirdo decides they just want to go swimming for hours?
I know, it's crazy. You should be under that water, not on top.
Hanging out with that Lord of Atlantis, like, nonsense.
I had him laminated.
That's what you do to your enemies, right? They're like trophies.
Oh, my God. Okay, so third place. Brandon Simmerall is playing the Green-White Hate Bears deck with Old Thalia. Huh?
Still good.
No new Thalias?
No. Nothing new here.
I feel like you'd want both.
Nah, apparently not in this deck. So that's that deck. Now, in fourth place, Max Hirsch with the mono-white Hate Bears. He has a Selfless Spirit main board. And Audric, the new Audric, Lunark Marshall, is in the sideboard.
Huh.
And Old Thalia.
Audric's really good. And yeah. He turns your deck into slivers.
Yeah, it gives them all flying and maybe first strike. That seems
good. Sometimes vigilance. Brimaz is there.
Oh, Brimaz has vigilance, yeah. Seems pretty good. Excuse me. Fifth place, Maggie Normal is playing Abzan.
Yep.
With nothing to see here, really. Just good old modern Abzan. Sixth place makes my head hurt.
Ooh.
It has words.
It's because of its name.
Yeah, it has words that don't go together, like five color.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Aggro.
As in, like, it's a five color control deck and you're aggravated at it?
No. Apparently not.
Oh.
So yeah, five color aggro, piloted by Jack Rumpf.
I only play that when I submit all the cards by accident online.
So this deck, okay, the land base is as follows. A forest. Forest.
Get there.
Reflecting Pool. Hey, green mana. And then you've got Ancient Ziggurat, which gives you mana of any color to cast creatures. Gemstone Mine. Hey, look. Mana of any color. Mana Confluence. Mana of any color. Pillar of the Perrins. Paruns? You know, that thing from Ravnica.
Yeah.
Which gives you mana of any color to play multicolored spells. Guess how many of those are in this deck? Lots. And then there's Razor Verge Thicket because, well, apparently there's more green and white than anything else.
That is accurate.
Yeah.
Did you mention the Birds of Paradise as
Not yet, no. Okay. There's also Birds of Paradise and Noble Hierarch in this deck.
As there should be.
Yeah. So he's running Tidehollow Sculler, just one. Birds of Paradise. Falcon Wrath Aristocrat. Hey, look, an aristocrat.
That's weird.
Yeah, but it's super aggro.
No, that's definitely true.
Kitchen Finks, Mantis Rider. Look at those colors now. Is that all of them? And just those colors? That's black, red, white, blue, green. Yeah, that's all the colors, and we're not even done yet. Noble Hierarch, Kasali Pride Mage, Siege Rhino, Spell Queller, Voice of Resurgence, and Anafens of the Foremost. The spells involve two Abrupt Decay, four Path to Exile. Path of Exile is a new game, I think. And that's it. Just six kill spells because the rest of the time you're dropping dudes and punching people in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sideboard is more Scullers, Fulminator Mage. Is it Staticasters? Yes, it is. A Sin Collector, some Stony Silence, a Gaddock Teague, and a Sigarda. Yeah. Yeah. So five color aggro. This makes my brain hurt.
I'm imagining there are occasionally weird hands. And I'm imagining the world of, wait, you have Blood Moons in your deck? Huh.
Yeah, that could be a problem. I guess.
Good thing I've got these creatures that tap for mana.
Yeah, I guess that's what the mana birds and the Tidehollow Sculler are for.
That mighty forest, keeping it real. You can cast your mana dudes off that forest.
Oh, you can also snatch it with Spell Queller when it's on the stack.
I mean, if you're there yet, yeah. I mean, presumably you're dumping a bird or a Hierarch on turn one if anything is going well, so you should be able to handle that.
Yeah, let's hope so.
With your specific three colors needed.
Well, I mean, specific three colors needed are kind of easy to get with this mana base, but...
Yeah.
How do you... Wow. What happens when... I guess you just lose.
I want to know what a keep hand is. I don't think I'm qualified to decide that based on an opener. I have a feeling it's going to consist of, like, three lands that make different colors and a bird or Hierarch, and then whatever else. Doesn't matter. I mean, I guess enough to cast an Abrupt Decay for the inevitable Blood Moon? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's okay. Well, moving on. Patrick Narsavage in seventh with Burn.
Sure.
With Burn. Modern Burn. Lots of Burn. A Jeskai Control in 8th, piloted by Samuel Ball. That's the Jeskai Control deck, okay. Esper Control in 9th,
Living End and 10th, Jund and 11th, Eldrazi Taxes.
They don't pay taxes.
The worst kind of taxes.
Right? So, yeah.
Says this here is, you moved to the plane recently. You're going to have to pay for that.
This is a very interesting smash-up of Reality Smasher, Thought Not Seer, Wasteland Strangler, and Eldrazi. Well, the Eldrazi Displacer, I guess, is a linking point between the two decks. And then the rest is a Death and Taxes deck.
Yeah.
Todd Hollow Sculler, Blade Splicer, Flicker Wisp, Leonin Arbiter, and Old Thalia. Yeah. So it gives a Death and Taxes deck beef with which to hit you.
Sure.
Which seems fine, I guess. Nifty. There's a Jeskai Control in 13th, a Mardu Tokens in 14th, which I don't remember actually looking at. Oh, yeah, I did. Okay. Yeah, it's running Dark Confidant, Monastery Mentor, Young Pyromancer, and spells! All of the spells, all of the time.
You have a lot of good choices in those colors.
It's very true. So, of course, you have Zealous Persecution and Lingering Souls. Just in case you were wondering, yes, yes, you do. Eh. And then a Modern Ad Nauseam deck in 15th, which this deck still makes my head hurt. But I think we've talked about it before.
I believe so.
Oh, yeah, the Lightning Storm storm deck in Modern with Lab Maniac as a secondary win condition. Right. Gotta love that guy. And then in 16th place is a Scapeshift deck that is running Summary Dismissal in the board.
Yep.
But it's still a Scapeshift deck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing much to see here.
Modern is not the thing that everyone's focusing on right now.
It's very true.
Can they still run that card in the fall?
Which one?
Summary Dismissal.
Bad clues. No. No.
I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. It popped into my head as soon as Chewy said it, and I had to share it.
Every time you do that, I'm taking a card out of your pile.
I'll find more to pile in.
I believe you. Should we move on to the format you care about?
Yes! Let's do that. It will be great.
Extended! Still
moving dead. On moving to on. Tiny Leaders.
Prismatic Stairwell.
Oh, moving Homer on to basic. Legacy. We had, 96 players in Columbus playing the king of all formats, Legacy. And Chewy, you're going to help me spot the new cards here.
We're good up until 7th, so.
I was going to say, because I was having real trouble finding them. In first place, we had Tom Luckett playing a game that, or playing a deck that is labeled Sneak and Show, but it really looks like Omnitel to me, what with the three Omniscients in the deck.
That's the game.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with Omnitel there.
Like, how different are the Omnitel decks from the Sneak and Show decks?
Not terribly so. Look, they're all trying to be unfair, but Omniscience just is like wound, salt, rub, enjoy.
The taste.
Oh, it is.
Incidentally,
delicious.
Next time I'm going to kill you with Release the Ants from the sideboard because that's hilarious.
I saw that and I giggled.
Yeah. See how this Emrakul's on top of my deck? Yeah, you're not winning the clash. Not
ping.
Winning the clash.
Get it back. Ping. Get it back. Ping. Oh, you counter it? No, I have counter spells. Ping. Get it back.
Yeah. In second place, we have Caleb Schurer. Playing what's labeled as Storm, but looks like Ant to me.
I see no wishes.
Yeah, it's still Ant to me. Out in third place, Arthur Fusco is playing Omnitel.
What if it was Rock and Roll?
It's also still Rock and Roll to me.
Okay, I do notice that this one labeled Omnitel, he's running both Enter the Infinite and Dream Halls, which the other was not.
It was not. That is true.
Maybe when you put Sneak Attack in it, it becomes Sneak and Show regardless of Omniscience. Does the Sneak and Show, does Sneak Attack like rank above? Does it have priority over Omniscience? I don't know how these naming.
Well, it's a red card, so yes, it is intrinsically better.
Ah, yeah. Good call. Got it.
There we go.
Understand
and
now.
So it is.
Ha ha, philosophy.
In fourth place, Stop the Top.
The deck?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, it's a Lawrence Harmon is playing Miracles. Stop that. Just no. Fifth place, Randy Lentz is playing Lands. You know what's great about lands?
They make mana?
It's not...
That's right. Boil in the sideboard. That's correct.
Nice. I saw a choke in a sideboard somewhere. I think that was in Modern, though.
Oh. Well, run choke and boil. Boil all the chokes. Sure, let's go with that. In sixth place, we have Noah Walker, Rockin' Grixis. By the way, have you noticed we haven't said any new cards yet? Noah Walker is Rockin' Grixis Delver, because it's got the zombie fish.
Fish.
Zombie fish.
Zombie fish to go with your plant skeletons. Mmm, good.
Just like Mother used to make.
That's what Campbell's Cream of Insanity Soup is. Mmm, good. In seventh place.
Sean remembers.
Wow.
Brian Koval is running Grixis Delver. Is this where we finally get a new card?
Well, it's not a new card, I don't think, but it's a new card that I don't remember seeing.
Okay.
There's a invasive surgery in the board.
Oh.
And while it's a card from Shadows, not from Eldritch Moon, I still was like, wait, what? Which it's counter target sorcery spell for a single blue, and with Delirium you go lobotomy. Or lobotomize, whatever. You search their graveyard, hand, and library for the spells with the same name as that spell and exile them all if you have Delirium.
I feel like we already saw this sneak in a couple of decks, but I just can't recall.
I don't understand why it's not more prevalent, because you'd think with the metagame of Legacy, and in this deck especially, where you should be able to get... Actually, I guess it might be kind of hard to get.
Yeah, it's...
Delirium.
It's also a little specific counter-target sorcery spell. I mean, sure, there are lots of juicy targets, but it's not as flexible as...
Well, that's true.
Other counter spells.
But then you go get to get the rest of their stuff.
You do get to go get their stuff.
I don't know.
How does this deck hit Delirium?
Well, I mean, it's got lands and crap loads of instants and sorceries and enough creatures that something's going to die.
Yeah.
Plus, there's the one Baleful Strix in case, you know...
In case you need a double up.
Desperate need of an artifact, I guess.
Yeah.
And in eighth place, Chris Stagno is also... hashtag stop the top.
Yeah. Check out the ninth place deck, though.
I am disappointed.
In the ninth place deck?
Disappointed. No, no, in the eighth place deck.
Oh, yeah, just ignore that then.
All right, ninth place. James Gasparme?
Sure, we'll go with that.
Gasparme? Running a green-blue Eldrazi post deck.
That's weird.
So that's...
So it's got four prime times.
Uh-huh.
One Ulamog, two the Ugin, and then one Emrakul, the legacy one, and then one Emrakul, the standard one.
Huh.
Yeah.
All the Emrakuls.
Just one of all of them. Screw it. Just put it in there.
Yeah. All right, how many posts do we have here? We've got three cloud posts, four glimmer posts, two Vesuvas.
Vesuva. And then candelabras?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. And, yeah. two candelabras. Okay, sorry. All right, well.
Yeah.
So we have, what, a total of 10 posts and two candelabras?
So you have 8 million mana, roughly?
Approximately, yeah.
Yeah.
If we round a little bit.
And to the Ugin. Did we call him the Ugin? Yep.
Yes, yes, okay. He is the Ugin.
Had to make sure.
His eye's down there, too.
If you don't know why it's called the Ugin, look, that episode was so long ago, don't bother looking for it.
Yeah, we don't even know. There's also a Nephalia Academy in the board.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was looking at that.
Which is the new Library of Ling, sort of. The one that if your opponent makes you discard something, you can reveal it and put it on top instead of... discarding it?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
That's a good place for it. Let's put it right there.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to stay on top if you don't want it to be on top, because you're running the top, what must be stopped.
It must be, yes.
At least in this deck, it's not busted. It's just obnoxious.
Yeah, it's not running counterbalance.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was a nifty little post deck.
And out here in 13th place, I'm skipping a bunch of them because don't care. Out here in 13th place, Alexander Strange has Belcher.
Oh, right? Wait a minute.
When you have just the one Taiga.
You have to look at the Death and Taxes deck in 11th.
Ooh.
Ooh. Because he's running four copies of Old Thalia and two copies of New Thalia.
There you go. All the Thalias. Thank you, Joshua Todd. I think you could use a couple more Thalias, though. You don't have eight.
Belcher. What the hell?
I like Belcher. It's a funny deck.
The 14th place deck, Colorless Eldrazi, is running nothing new.
Nothing.
I was like, oh, dude, I wonder if there's an Emrakul. Nope.
Nope.
Not a one. Nobody got time for that. And there was one more new card. Oh, yeah, in the Punishing Abzan deck in 16th, there's an Arlan Cord in the board. I don't know how frequent that is because the Punishing Abzan decks are sort of hit and miss.
Somebody opened an Arlan Cord this morning.
Huh.
But did they now?
Well, that's why I'm saying it's in the sideboard. yeah, it's... Although I might cut it for a second copy of Choke.
Your ways are known.
And that was Legacy.
Yay, Legacy.
That's right. Yay, Legacy indeed, Chewy. Yay, Legacy indeed. Back to you guys.
Well, we covered all of the non-tournament news.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we did.
This format's weird, you guys. We changed things. So, MTGO?
I guess so, yeah.
All right. So, before I begin, typical disclaimer. Normally, Magic Online news is all a week old. In this instance, I have a combination of news from 2 weeks ago, since we didn't do an episode last week, and last week, with the extra weirdness of we technically didn't really do Magic Online much the week before that, because the week before that we did a Tuesday. So Magic Online news is weird and in flux, and you should really look at the stuff on the website yourself if you're really, really concerned about it. I'm just going to hit the high points. So, first up, the Vintage Cube, which has been around for a bit, is ending this week on Wednesday the 29th, which is cool, because this week is also when Eldritch Moon hits. So, actually, I say Wednesday 29th, Friday is the 29th. I don't know why Vintage Cube bothers to run through there, but regardless, at the end of the week, Vintage Cube goes away, Eldritch Moon comes in. I've got a link in the show notes to everything you need to know about the Eldritch Moon pre-release. These things happen every 3 months. I don't really need to go into heavy detail. All the events will be online. You'll get to see the different things going on for whatever level you want to jump in on. Give it a shot if you've never done a Magic Online pre-release. They're kind of nice because they're league format now, so you can not sit still for 5 hours to do a pre-release, unlike a physical one. One of the entertaining things about it is that in Magic Online, you get to do the weird online melding thing. So that'll be fun to look at. I have not actually seen the screenshots of how that works yet, but I imagine it's still a giant card. But yeah, this is all going on in there. Click on the link for more information about the pre-release. Also of note, so throughout the summer, they've been doing this thing that they've been calling the Legacy Festival. And essentially, the league for the Legacy Festival is pretty much over by now. So if you haven't been engaging in that and you wanted to go into the big final tournament at the end of it, you're pretty much out of luck because the league closed out today. And the league, I guess, officially ends this week on the 27th. So, again, that's why you look directly online if you want to know what's coming up and when. However, the I guess the championship is already over and everything, too. So, yeah, take that. More importantly, though, for most casual players. So as the pre-release is coming out this week, they're going to be taking a break from the Year of Modern for a few weeks again. So starting last week when we didn't do an episode, they did Magic 2010, which was the first of the modern concept of the core sets with brand new cards. And so that's running through this week, Wednesday downtime, at which point Magic 2010 will go away and it'll be on break until the middle of August when they've had all their fun with the pre-release and launch events for Eldritch Moon. So that'll be on standby until it, you know, goes through all that stuff, and then we'll come back with the next set. So I'll let you know what's going on in that a little bit closer to it. They did a bug blog update a few weeks ago. If I recall correctly, there wasn't a whole lot in this one. I'm not going to go over it issue by issue. But I do know that, in fact, because it's right here, yeah, there were only 2 new issues at all. And they seem to just involve UI things. And one little bit where during the targeting step of a spell that can target both players and creatures, if the spell does not require distributing damage, there is no visual indicator that a player has been chosen as a target, which is relevant for things like Fireball and Fall of the Titans. So if you're casting that spell, be aware that, yeah, you're still targeting them, it's just not showing you. This is something that will probably be fixed in the next downtime, because that sounds like just an oversight that wasn't an issue before and probably was messed with when they released the last batch of cards.
Whoops.
So keep an eye out on that. If you'd like a rundown of all of the known issues, you can click on the link in the show notes and see what's going on there. It looks like that might have been added in preparation for Magic 2010. So be aware. Got to add those new bugs to keep people paying attention.
Is that why they do it?
Clearly. I mean, otherwise, what am I going to talk about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I think past all of that nonsense, things are pretty much wrapped up in Magic Online. Whenever we go into pre-release season in the real world, Magic Online sort of falls behind a week or two. And then when the Magic Online pre-releases kick in, it's pretty much just Magic Online pre-releases. Like, there's a bunch of hype events where you can see people streaming early and they'll start, you know, pushing, check this out, and then go in there and get all these avatars and tokens and all that stuff. And we'll get an article where they talk about the weird things that they had to do with the interface to, you know, accommodate new things. Like when they added the most recent mechanic that counts, you know, Delirium. Well, they added a counter for it. So I don't know if they're going to do anything like that for the new set. I don't think there's anything to really keep up with like that. They'll probably have an article just about how they put together meld cards online. That'll probably go up this week. So if you want to keep 100% current on Magic Online, just go to the Wizards website. And then under the drop menu at the top, you go to Game Info, then Products, then Magic Online. And then you get everything going on there. Past that, it'll probably be quiet for the next week or two. So go have fun with the online pre-release if you're into it. And if not, then you probably don't care about Magic Online at all. So have fun and save that money.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I got for Moto. It's not a very exciting thing in the week or two before the pre-release. Kind of like in real Magic. And I think we're just done now, aren't we?
I think we might be.
Yeah.
Weird.
So should we just go ahead and wrap things up then?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. So I put together some notes in here about my experience at the pre-release, but that's irrelevant now because instead you can just go listen to the Mana Pool from last week and hear me talk about it directly there. Way more details. Because I guessed it there because we didn't do an episode here and apparently Chewy didn't learn any better and still wanted to listen to me talk for like an hour or two.
Yay, Bill.
And then listen to Mike talk a lot more. Yay, Mike. So I don't remember the number of that one. Was it like 428 or something?
Oh, hell, I don't know.
Yeah, something. The most recent one. Go listen to it. It's fun. Stories about the pre-release.
Let me go to themanapool.com and look, because that's where you find that sort of thing. It was 428.
Oh, I was right. Weird.
The one entitled Eldritch Moon pre-release report. You know, in case you didn't know which one accurate would have Bill talking about the pre-release.
Yeah. So I guess go listen to that. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's at SqueeGoblinNabob. There's no I in Goblin. I think it's in that pile includes his fireplace. So we'll see what happens.
It might be.
It's possible. I mean, there's a lot of things in there. And past that, you can go over to enchantworld.com. Look over a giant list of topics. If anything in there is something that you have a story you'd like to talk about, you can submit it directly. And whenever I hit critical mass, I pop up an episode. That doesn't happen very often, but it also is like next to no upkeep for me beyond reminding people to go listen to it and then occasionally reaching out to people and doing interviews and stuff like that. But that's out there. By all means, share stories. There's something for everyone. If you go to the website and you don't see anything at all that you could tell a story about, then let me know and I'll find something that works because the whole goal is to like give everyone who wants to talk about Magic an opportunity to do it. You don't have to set up a podcast and put out regular content, but if there's something you want to talk about, I think there's someone out there who wants to hear it. And if enough people want to talk about the same thing, it's worth pulling together an episode. So you can go check that out. And past that, I think I'm done. So I'll hand it over to Clues.
Hey, if you want to hear more from me, you can find me on the Random Discard podcast found right here on the MTGCast network. You can also find us at randomdiscard.com. That still just redirects to our old name, Card Advantage, but I swear I'm fixing that just as soon as I figure out a new logo, because we still have the old logo too.
What about the same logo, but instead of blue, it's black? Hey, why was your logo blue? Instead of blue, it's black, and it says RD instead of CA. That's a nice placeholder.
Yeah, I suppose. Just as soon as it's not so damn hot in here, I'll come up with something.
Yeah, so the heat does tend to destroy brain cells, I think.
Yeah, what was I saying? Hey, if you want to reach me directly, your best bet is on the Twitters. I'm at LockLuze, spelled just like it is in ye olde show notes.
Are show notes really ye olde anymore? I guess I still do copy paste the old stuff.
People will have to go take a look to find out if they're ye olde.
Who reads the show notes?
No one reads the show notes.
Yeah, I mean, one time I had Chewie's bank account there for like a week and no one stole his money.
They might have.
Well, yeah, I said, what money?
Oh no, they got my dollars. Both of them.
Oh, they go so well together.
All right then. Well, that leaves me. You can, follow me on Twitter at TheManipool. Because, you know, TheManipool. You can check out TheManipool over at TheManipool.com. Because last week we had Bill on. Yay. You can send me an email to Chewy, that's C-H-E-W-I-E, at mtgcast.com. And you can check out my YouTube channel at youtube.com/C/TheManipool, where I just put up earlier today for patrons the last episode of the Speedrunners multiplayer that I did with myself and Billy from It Might Be Gaming and Rob from the Retro League. And my old roommate and webmaster, Scott. And it was awesome. I really love Speedrunners. And now that I'm done with that series, I have to go find something else multiplayer to record. So I have to find other people that have the game and then set up scheduling. And I've realized that when you have, you know, no life and no schedule for the most part, well, that would be me, and all of your friends have lives and schedules, it sucks. Like, hey, Bill, you want it busy? Well, how about busy? Well, what about busy? And I just use Bill as an example because he's here.
That's true. I am here.
Yeah.
And I am usually busy.
I also put up another episode of Rogue Legacy because I'm playing Rogue Legacy. And for anyone that watches it, I apologize for the first few minutes. I chose a character with the trait Vertigo. And that was a mistake.
Oh.
Because
I can only imagine how well that goes.
Well, the entire everything was rotated along the horizontal axis. So everything was upside down. So, you know, when you press left to go left, you still went left. But when you jumped from the top of the screen up towards the bottom. And even text was rotated that way. Oh God. It was bad.
It does sound awful.
I mean, it was cute and it was entertaining, but oh my God, dude. But that was just the first one. I did three runs. I've got another Rogue Legacy, video that's gonna go up hopefully tomorrow. It was gonna go up today, but I got a call for a late drive, so I didn't get it done before we started recording.
So wait, for the Vertigo thing, is that like in Sonic games when you would end up on the ceiling? Like the Death Egg, where like left and right are still left and right, but you're jumping down?
Yeah.
And it seems like, you know, when you're watching it, it's no big deal, but your brain does not want to process that.
Does not want to at all.
Yeah.
And like, okay. I said, it's everything. Like the whole screen is flipped. So yeah. I don't know about Sonic, that you're talking about specifically, but it's not just that I'm walking on the ceiling. It's that
the everything is flipped, the entire interface. Yeah.
And when you talk to the little blacksmith dude outside the castle, his text is wrong.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, it's bad. And the typeface A, lowercase a, my brain can't see when it's rotated that way because looks like a G. And I stared at lots of words a long time going, what is that? I don't know what it's saying. It was very bad.
Ugh.
But, yeah, that's what's going on the YouTube channel, along with the usual weekly Hearthstone Tavern Brawl videos, which have been a lot of fun lately. I'm really digging their Tavern Brawls. Now that Eldritch Moon has released on Magic Duels, which didn't make the news for some reason, because I guess no one cares, I'll be doing Shadows of Rannistrad soon so that I can do Eldritch Moon soon, since I finished Oath of the Gatewatch. Yes.
So you mean you get to play through the mystery knowing full well what the answer is?
I think it's better that way in this particular case, so I wouldn't be majorly disappointed to find out it was Emrakul. Because I already know it's Emrakul. I've already been majorly disappointed, so we're good.
Fair enough.
Wait, it's Emrakul? You gotta put spoiler warnings on this, man.
I think that's bad. Emrakul is a sled. Ask your grandparents.
Holiday card.
And Emrakul was dead the whole time.
Well, that actually would make sense in Innistrad.
Yeah, it kind of would, wouldn't it? Anyway. So, I guess that's it for us. You can also, if you want to help support what I do with all of the video production, all of the podcasts, and all of that stuff that keeps you sane at work or gives you some entertainment, and you want to help support me, then check out the Patreon. It's patreon.com/themanapool, where every little bit really does help, and I really appreciate it. You can get all of the Manapool episodes and YouTube videos early, or you can get the odds and ends, which is all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manapool. It's uncensored, unfiltered, and probably unsafe for consumption, especially when Clues gets going.
Look, one time, two, three, several times.
Times. New Roman. Yeah, and just to jump in there while we're actually throwing on small amounts of nonsense. So while I was talking MTGO earlier, Clues dropped a link for me that I didn't see. And so this is a link to an email response from WotC support after someone reported an error. So I'm just going to read it to you because it's short. Hello, redacted. Thank you for reporting this. We're currently aware of an issue where desecrated demon does not allow sacrifices. This is very odd for a demon. We think he might be dieting. We are looking into the problem and hope to fix the bug and desecration demons. Low self-esteem. We've reimbursed your account on your entry option of 100 play points. Blah, 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 normal sign-off. So that's a bug that I wasn't aware of, but at least they're having fun with it. And similarly, a week or so ago, someone on Twitter sent me a message, which I didn't see in the bug blog because I guess the bug blog came out before this. But apparently, Sages of the Anima is not triggering properly. So Sages of the Anima is a card from way back in Alara Reborn. I think that's some Alara Reborn symbol on it. And so Sages of the Anima is a card that has the ability, if you would draw a card, instead reveal the top three cards of your library, put all creature cards revealed this way into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. But according to the comment I received on Twitter, it's putting the cards back on top, which sounds absolutely horrible.
And yes, that is Alara Reborn.
Yeah. So that sounds absolutely miserable as an effect, because if they keep going back on top, then you probably don't get cards anymore after a while.
Yeah, probably not.
Since this is in lieu of drawing a card. So that's a problem. It's probably less relevant now that flashback draft is done, but I guess if you decide you want to play Alara block anytime soon, keep that in mind, because I didn't, like, the bug blog only goes up every 2 weeks, so it's due to go up maybe this week with the release of the new set. So in the event that you somehow were playing the relevant format with these cards before then, just be aware. And that said, I'm done interrupting Chewy, so go ahead, Chewy.
Yay! Help support the Patreon. And if you want to help support Magic podcasting in general, but not me specifically, then you can go to mtgcast.com, click on the support MTGcast button, and sign up for a monthly donation where your money will also be appreciated. Because while MTGcast is free for all of us podcasters to use, and it's free for all of you listeners to use, it's not actually free and costs a not insignificant amount of money. So, yeah. Every little bit there also helps. Is that everything? I guess that's everything.
I think so.
So with that, we hope you enjoyed this catching up from last week's nothing and all of this week's something, sort of. It was sort of something, right?
Yeah, I mean, we gotta talk about stuff.
Yeah, and things.
Ooh, in that order.
Ooh. And, hey Clues, you hot?
Yeah, 86.5 is the current temperature in here.
Nice.
No, the opposite of that.
Not nice.
Not ice. Check.
Gotcha. Right. So we're gonna go so that Clues can go stick his head in a freezer or something.
That would be amazing.
So this has been, stall while I get back to the show notes, episode 522 of Monday Night Magic here on the MTGcast Network. Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some Magic.